Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, although it is correct that the king is a great devotee, he is still to be considered a venomous snake. Similarly, even though a woman be made of wood, one becomes agitated simply by touching her form. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Sri Chanakya Pandit has stated in his moral instructions, Chaja Durjana Sangsagam Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam. This means that one has to abandon the association of materialistic people and associate with spiritually advanced people. Where's Ram Lakshman? I saw him. Ram Lakshman's here in the temple. He's in charge of this technical stuff. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a venomous serpent. I'll repeat that sentence. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a venomous serpent. Everyone knows that a snake is dangerous and poisonous, and when its hood is decorated with jewels, it is no less poisonous or dangerous. However qualified a materialist may be, he is no better than a snake decorated with jewels. One should therefore be careful in dealing with such materialists, just as one would be careful in dealing with a bejeweled serpent. Even though a woman be made of wood or stone, she becomes attractive when decorated. One becomes sexually agitated even by touching the form. Therefore, one should not trust his mind, which is so fickle that it can give way to enemies at any moment. The mind is always accompanied by six enemies. How many?
Six.
Namely, Kama, Krodha, Mada, Moha, Matsarya, and Bhaya. That is lust, anger, intoxication, illusion, envy, and fear. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Although the mind may be merged in spiritual consciousness, one should always be very careful in dealing with it. Just as one is careful in dealing with a snake. One should never think that his mind is trained and that he can do whatever he likes. One interested in spiritual life should always engage his mind in the service of the Lord, so that the enemies of the mind, who always accompany the mind, will be subdued. If the mind is not engaged in Krishna consciousness, at every moment, there is a chance that it will give away to its enemies. You want to turn this off and use that one? Okay. Turn that one off then. Disconnect it.
Might not work.
If the mind is not engaged in Krishna consciousness at every moment, there is a chance that it will give way to its enemies. In this way, we become victims of the mind. Fine. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra engages the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna constantly. Thus the mind's enemies do not have a chance to strike. Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's example in these verses, we should be very careful in dealing with the mind, which should not be indulged in any circumstance. Indulged in any circumstance. Which not should be indulged in any circumstance. Once we indulge the mind, it can create havoc in this life, even though we may be spiritually advanced. The mind is specifically agitated through the association of materialistic men and women. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through his personal behavior, warns everyone to avoid meeting a materialistic person or a woman.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksusun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamala Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha
Excuse me. Hare Krishna. Jai. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very pertinent verse that we can all take note of, that the whole thing of Krishna consciousness is to engage the mind always in Krishna's service, and that even one becomes a liberated soul, free from all material desires. Like the Brahmavadis, they want to do, they recognize that materialistic life, sense gratification, the path of sense gratification, entangles one in karma, in piety and impiety. And therefore they strive to become free. There are many spiritualists who strive to come free from all activity, all materialistic activity, by doing nothing, basically. Sitting in the Himalayas, sitting in the jungle, sitting in the forest, and trying to control the mind. This is a type of process that is also there in the Vedas, to reduce all material contact with the material energy by the aspiring yogi or spiritualist. That is to say that ultimately, one needs to refrain or stop the path of sense gratification. And there is a materialistic process. If you're going to type all the time, are you making notes or talking to your friends? Are you making notes or chatting to someone? Please. Because you're right at the front. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this process of stopping sense gratification is included in Krishna consciousness in a safe environment. Safe means that not only is it impossible in this materialistic atmosphere of Kali Yuga to find anywhere peaceful. If you go to the Himalayas, you'll find a lot of plastic, rubbish, and pollution, and in the summer months, the materialistic people come up there. It's very busy. I'm sure if you can find one cave to sit in. That is one process. Anyway, the problem with that process is that recognizing one is spiritual is only one part of the program, one part of reality. For example, here it mentions even a woman's form made of wood. If it's decorated, then it will agitate the mind. Now, this is very fascinating. And Narottam Das Thakur, he says that although I know that this is all illusionary energy, and that I have these six enemies, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, and one more, intoxication, thank you. And although I know the six sense objects, sound, touch, taste, smell, form, I know that they are all my enemies. They are illusory. still I cannot control my mind. I cannot stop myself from trying to enjoy. This is fascinating, a fascinating statement. So what is the solution? We're here in this world, we have these mind, we have the sense objects, we have these senses. What is the solution? So the devotee, he recognizes that although the form is material, just made of, it's a bag of bones. We're having a great day today. That although this body is a bag of bones, flesh, and horrible substances, if I took my body and put it all out on the floor, the kidneys, the liver, it's not very attractive. It's not very attractive. Can you close the door? Thank you. Therefore, even though we know that, still, we're attracted. And why is that? Because Krishna has empowered matter. Krishna has empowered Maya with his Shakti, Maya Shakti. Therefore, we're all attracted. In the Bhagavatam says that the form of Maya is Krishna's smile. Maya is Krishna's smile. Now, Krishna's smile, maduram, maduram, smitam, is the most attractive feature of Krishna's form. His body is sweet, his form is sweet, his face is sweet, but his smile, Krishna's smile, is the most attractive. And through that smile, Krishna plays the flute, and this sound is entering the ear holes of the devotees and intoxicating them with ecstasy. So matter is empowered by Krishna, so it's so attractive. And because everything is Krishna, ultimately we're attracted to Krishna. But that attraction is illusory, impermanent. And just as the other spiritualists understand, this attraction is causing us to sink into the web of Maya and illusion and forget ourselves. Because if you're attracted to something material, that attraction is impermanent, temporary, and when you have to leave the body, you're going to suffer. Oh, I'm leaving behind my wife, my children, my bank balance, all my possessions. I think I bought too many possessions in this life. I shouldn't have bought so many. Oh dear. Now I'm so attached to all my possessions. I'm so attached to my house, my land, my family, my nation. How will I leave? How will I die? So this is failure. This means your life is a failure. Because not only have you not become detached from matter, in spiritual consciousness, you've not developed your attachment to Krishna. So therefore, we see that my vimuktimanina, that the material, the spiritualists who are not devotees, they may become detached, but because they have no attachment in their heart, savai pumso paro dharma yato bhakti adoksaja ahoitakiya pratihata. Yeah, yatmi supersidity. I missed that one line. Savai pumsam paro dhamma yato bhakti. What's the first line? Okay. So uninterrupted, unmotivated attraction, spontaneous attraction to Krishna is not there in the hearts of the impersonalists, even though they may rise to the Brahmavadi, the Brahman. They may be liberated from birth and death. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it describes that Brahma Jyoti is an all-encompassing light with no end and no beginning, all surrounding. But still, within that light, there's a form of Vishnu, because he's everything also. And that light has his personality within it. Just like I went to the dentist, I had my wisdom tooth taken out. And he held it up in front of me. And it was like I could see me in the tooth, you know. It's like your personality is imprinted on matter. It was a weird experience, you know. So Krishna's personality is imprinted everywhere in this material and spiritual realm. So the Mayavadis, they get a darshan, but not a permanent one, comes in and out. So Vimukti Manina, they come back down to the material world because they're not satisfied. So Narottam Das Thakur says that I will engage my lust in hearing the topics. I will engage my lust, my desire, in service to Krishna. I will engage my greed in wanting to hear topics about Krishna. Just like sometimes you stay at home and you want to listen, there's all live classes going on all over the world, and you want to listen to three or four of them, but you can only listen to one, because you only have two sets of ears. Maharaj Prithu, he said, I want to have millions of ears, so I can go everywhere in the universe at once and listen to devotees talking about Krishna Katha. This is my desire. So my greed in hearing from the devotees, this is very important. Shravanam. We see that it's not so easy to do. People come for darshan and kirtan, but they don't stay for hearing. So they missed out on this wonderful purport where it says one should not trust the mind. So Narottam continues. He says, I will engage my envy. He doesn't mention envy, actually. That's the one thing he doesn't mention. He says, I'll engage my anger against those who are envious of the devotees. That's how to engage your anger. Hanuman used his anger. Arjuna used his anger against the enemies of Krishna, against the enemies of Ram. So we have anger. This is the whole point of these six enemies. We see that Krishna, enjoys his anger. He enjoys being intoxicated with the love of his devotees. He enjoys becoming envious against his enemies and destroying them. And he enjoys, as a child, being frightened of his mother's anger. He's running from his mother, crying, Mother Yashoda. So he's enjoying all these six qualities. So the six qualities are all ultimately spiritual. And because you're a living being, part and parcel of Krishna, you also have these six qualities. And what else is Narottam Das Thakur? I was going to bring the book, but I forgot it. Envy. Pride. He said, I'll be proud of being able to hear and chant and meditate on Krishna. So we should be proud that we've woken up this morning, put in on dhoti and tilak, and we're chanting Hare Krishna before. We can be proud. This is our life, and we've achieved, we've conquered over Maya. There's 60 million people in this country. How many of them are chanting Hare Krishna this morning, 7 a.m.? Very few, very tiny amount. Most of them are sleeping in. Prabhupada used to criticize, they're reading the newspapers, having bed tea, Prabhupada said, bed tea. This is like when I grew up in the 70s, it was a thing that when you go to a hotel on holiday, you have tea and breakfast in bed. You stay in the hotel room and the chambermaids bring this huge tray, all the teapots and croissants and butter and marmalade, and you enjoy orange juice. This is the nature of Maya. Makes you feel like you're a king. You can enjoy. The hotel industry, the expert. The best hotels are the ones that make you feel very welcome. They're the best. As soon as you come in the door, swagatam, welcome, please, sir. They make you feel, they really like me, these people. I'll order room service, and you spend more and more money, and you go down to pay your bill, and it's like, wow, they did a good job. But the prostitute is also like that. She is inviting us, enjoy, enjoy. Pay this more, 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 more. So we're paying our blood, our energy in this world to enjoy our senses. But it all ends up in misery. Intoxication, we can enjoy the kirtan, become intoxicated with love of Krishna. So we have to use these qualities in Krishna's service. And in the first chapter of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit asks a question about the Lord's partiality. Or he asks, how did Shishupal get liberated? He was so envious of Krishna. He was always cursing Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami explains that somehow or other, if you fix your mind upon Krishna, even with a bad enmity out of affection, out of familial affection, out of lust, then because Krishna is the absolute truth, he is the summum bonum, all spirit, just like a fire. If you touch it, it will burn. So similarly, if any way that you touch Krishna, you will become liberated, purified, benefited. There was a king, he's called Vena. He was a great atheist, and he never thought about Krishna. But Shishupal and Kamsa, they were great envious of Krishna. So they were always thinking about Krishna. And by this thinking of Krishna, they became liberated. They became liberated from the cycle of birth and death, freed from all material suffering. But they did not attain the prema of the inhabitants of the Vaikuntha planets. Similarly, Putana, when she offered her breast milk to Krishna to kill him, she became liberated, but she became liberated as a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan, which is an extraordinary benefit that she received. So there's this gradation of Jai and Vijay. They were cursed. Then as Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narsingadev, but he did not get liberated. Then Ravana was killed by Ram, but he did not get liberated. Why was that? He thought Narsingadev was an ordinary manifestation of the demigods or something. And he thought Ramachandra was an ordinary human being. But in his incarnation as Shishupal, he became liberated. And this is the special feature of Krishna. He is more wonderful in his original feature, and more benefit is there from thinking about Krishna. So in any of these processes, we become liberated by thinking of Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami says that we should take the form of Krishna very seriously. So the whole point that Prabhupada's stressing in the purport is that the mind should be always engaged in Krishna's service. The Bhagavad Gita says that even if you take sannyas, Krishna explains, you should not give up your duties. So Vaidhi Bhakti means to perform our duty, and our main duty is Shravanam and Kirtanam. So the devotee who chants Hare Krishna every day for his whole life, he becomes protected. Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. And those devotees who become lax in chanting their japa, we see that they fall away. They again become attracted to Maya, and they slow down their process, slow down their path. Although Narada Muni says one who gives up the process of Krishna consciousness can never forget the taste of the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, or the bhava, the ecstasy he's felt in Krishna consciousness. So by Kamsa, by his fear, Shishupala and the other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familiar relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and the general devotees by our devotional service have all obtained the mercy of Krishna, the gopis by their lusty desires. So this lust in the material, in the spiritual realm, only looks like lust. It's not actual lust. It's actually pure love. And it's compared to lust just to help us to understand the intensity of Krishna's pleasure, Krishna's ecstasy with his devotees in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Hare Krishna. The mind. So in the fifth canto, there's one verse that says, if the yogi lets his mind build up, then it will kill him. It will destroy him. So you have to be very careful. What is a great example? Is Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was at a very high platform of Krishna consciousness. He retired from his wealth, his great fortune, he was such a great devotee. He went to the forest quite early in life, and he was engaged in worshipping the deity in the forest, collecting fruits and flowers, and his heart became like a lake filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. He was so advanced. Tears would flow from his eyes. He had absolutely no interest in any material enjoyment. And then one day, a mother doe lost her calf and died, and the baby deer was all alone in the world. Such a sweet, beautiful deer with little soft horns. And so this Bharat Maharaj says, it's my duty to protect this deer. He has no other protection. So he began to look after the deer, protect the deer from the tigers and all dangers, and fondle him and fawn him, and pretend to be meditating, but actually he liked to ignore the deer. So then the deer would, you know, like pets, like cats, if you ignore them, and they want affection. See, even these cats, they crave affection. So the Bharat Maharaj gradually became distracted and, what's the word? Negligent in his spiritual practice. So he had to take birth as a deer. Like that. And Sobari Muni, he was meditating in the Yamuna River, such a great yogi underwater. But Garuda came once and caught a fish and killed a fish in front of him. So he cursed Garuda. And by that curse, he fell down from Krishna consciousness, from his spiritual life, and got married to 50 daughters of one king. And after a long time of enjoying the world, his renunciation again came, and he became perfect in devotional service. So sometimes we're living out our karma, and sometimes we're waiting for good benefit, good result. So when you do something pious or impious, the result isn't coming straight away. It's coming little later. You have to be patient. Same with Krishna consciousness. You have to be patient. Krishna will test you. And Maya will test you. Okay, so that's it. So materialistic people, the king. You see, the king was a great devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is following Varnashram strictly. I heard one devotee when I was young, he asked Acharya, he said, what if my wife's a pure devotee? What if I marry? He was a brahmachari. He said, what if I marry a pure devotee? Will that be fine? Then I'll be benefited. But here the king is a pure devotee. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. I will not go near him. And we see sometimes materialistic people with wonderful qualities, apparently wonderful qualities, they come into the association of devotees. And devotees are usually, you know, they're materially not so together. They've left home, they've left their occupation and careers to become ashram devotees. So sometimes they're a bit innocent, and these materialistic people, they have some hurt, healing or some magic, they can disturb a whole community. We've seen it happen. So you have to be very, very careful. Don't trust anybody. Like sometimes you have people with big beards talking about this or that. Don't trust them. They're all snakes. Unless they're a pure devotee of Krishna, don't trust them. Don't even look at them. Stay very close to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Then you'll be protected from all these envious people. Ultimately, this envy has to be removed only by pure devotion. Savai Pungsu Parau Dharma. The ultimate religious principle is to serve Krishna without any motivation, without interruption. This is the purport of, what Prabhupada is saying. So a pure devotee, like Haridas Thakur, he cannot fall down. But for the most of us, we can fall down, so we have to always be very careful. Hare Krishna. I'll stop talking now. If anybody has any points of discussion, questions, thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Well, what can we do? Just talk loudly. I'll repeat your question for those who are interested on the internet. If anyone's out there, who knows? Yeah, speak loud, yeah?
The verse which you quoted, which it said that Gopi by the spirit of Ayas,
yeah.
They rule by their family, they all obtain the mercy of Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
So, I have sort of confusion with two examples here. One is Kansa and the other is Shishupa. Because Bhakti Sangha Sindhu says, Anu Pujena Krishna, Bhakti is done in a favorable way.
That's yeah. No, because they did not get the same liberation as devotees. Even Putana, she is a nurse in the spiritual world, but she doesn't have the same prema as other nurses.